Wow, how great is this? Feast of Trumpets. It's an exciting thing to have the Feast of Trumpets. It's a day to celebrate. We'll talk some about that here in just a minute. But I can remember growing up in the church as a little person, we couldn't wait to get to the Feast of Trumpets. Well, actually, we couldn't wait to get to the Feast of Tabernacles. And to get to the Feast of Tabernacles, we had to get to the Feast of Trumpets and get through the Day of Starvation. Some of you know that as atonement. And then, wow, we were there at the feast. So that's exciting. Funny how you get a little older, though, and realize the significance of all of God's holy days. And the Feast of Trumpets matters. It matters a lot. And it's an important day and a great day to celebrate. I want to start off the message this morning with a reminder of why we are here. I appreciate Mr. Bryant's message, not only because I thought it was better than mine, but also he didn't use all my scriptures. He used one set, but we'll just repeat that. But it was a good start to this feast day. You know, why we are here is a question that I used to hear a lot, and I'm sure many of you did as well, from speakers at the feast. They would ask, why are you here? Why are you here on this particular day? What does this day represent? And I thought it was interesting during the spring holidays that Mr. Willoughby took that question to another level. Instead of asking why we are here, he said, why are you here? He made it personal, and I really like that. Why are you here? And I'd like to talk a little bit about that, why we are here, why we should be here. You know, one of the reasons that we are here today is to be obedient to God's instructions. God has given us this great understanding of his plan. And if your mind has been opened to understand, you can see that this plan for man's purpose is talked about all through the scriptures of both the Old and the New Testament. We are all very familiar with what is given in Leviticus chapter 23, which gives an overview of the important steps of this great plan. God gives very specific instructions of when and how the holy days are to be observed. With the help of God's Holy Spirit, we can pull in an abundance of scriptures throughout the Bible that explain their meaning and importance in the plan that was developed and implemented from the very beginning. Let's begin in Leviticus chapter 23 and be reminded of these instructions that we are to be obedient to. We will quickly go through the days mentioned in Leviticus 23. And then we'll zero in on today's observance, today's high day. But Leviticus 23 and verse 1. It says, and the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, speak to the children of Israel and say to them, the feast of the Lord which you shall proclaim to be holy convocations, these are my feasts. The word proclaim comes up a lot in the following verses that we'll read. It's an action word. And in the Strong's Concordance means call out to properly address by name. I think it's interesting that the Merriam-Webster Dictionary says the word proclaim implies declaring quickly, forcefully, and authoritatively. Some synonyms for proclaim are to advertise, to publicize, to announce, to declare, to broadcast, to sound, and interestingly, to trumpet. Notice that the days to be mentioned in the next few passages are days that shall be proclaimed, advertised, publicized, announced, declared, broadcasted, and trumpeted, that they are holy, all of them, they're holy. They have been set apart as holy time, and it's important to note that these appointed times do not belong to us. We just read, these verse says that these are my feast. These are God's feasts. They belong to the Lord. Verse 3 covers the weekly Sabbath, the day of rest, the day set aside each week for a holy convocation. This is a day of worship and a day of reflection on God, our elder brother Jesus Christ, this marvelous creation and its purpose and our purpose in it. Continuing in Leviticus 23 verse 4, it says, these are the feast of the Lord, holy convocations which you shall proclaim at their appointed times. So again, these feast days belong to the Lord, and they're set apart for holy use. It is holy time. We are to proclaim them with a holy convocation, again, at their appointed times. In verse 5, we are commanded to keep the Passover. In the New Testament, Christ introduced new symbols of bread and wine to represent his broken body and shed blood. He also instituted the practice of foot washing, symbolizing the humility we are to be developing with one another. Considered part of the Passover season, we find the instruction to keep the days of unleavened bread in verse 6. Verse 6, Leviticus 23 says, "And on the 15th day of the same month is the feast of unleavened bread to the Lord. 7 days you must eat unleavened bread." The days of unleavened bread is a festival that lasts for 7 days. Prior to its beginning, Christians are to have removed leaven and leavening products from their homes. We did that. Leavening is used here as a representative of sin and symbolically pictures the removal of sin from our lives. The next feast day is referred to by several names. We typically call it the Feast of Pentecost, but it can also be called the Feast of Weeks and the Feast of First Fruits. The Feast of Pentecost celebrates the establishment of the New Testament church and the gift of the Holy Spirit given to its members. Each of these festivals listed so far are the spring harvest festivals and represent important events that have already taken place and yet have an ongoing application in our lives today. When God opens our mind to understand his plan through these festivals, we can see the clear order and the timing of his plan. God's plan for salvation of man begins with our Passover, Jesus Christ, sacrificed for the remission of sins. Without Christ's sacrifice, allowing us to be freed from the penalty of our past sins, we cannot get started on our journey towards salvation. The days of unleavened bread remind us to be constantly on the lookout for sin and to remove sin as we go through life. To help us live the life God wants us to live, he established his church and made available to those called his Holy Spirit to lead and to guide them. Without the gift of the Holy Spirit, we cannot develop the relationships we must have with God, with Christ, with our church members, and our fellow man. We cannot discern spiritual matters needed to live a life that is pleasing to God. The church is also vital, again, to the development of a Christian life, every aspect of a Christian life. As was mentioned in the offertory, in the church we pool our resources to preach the gospel and to care for those in our church family. The remaining feast days listed in Leviticus 23 are the fall or autumn festivals, sometimes referred to as the fall harvest season. The fall holy days represent or picture future events in God's plan of salvation. The fall holy days start with the Feast of Trumpets today, picturing at its core the return of Jesus Christ to this earth and the resurrection of the saints. This is the first resurrection to eternal life. We'll talk more about the specifics of this great feast day here in just a moment. The Day of Atonement, the Feast of Tabernacles, and the last great day finish out the plan of salvation as seen through the holy days listed here in Leviticus 23. Once Christ returns, pictured by the Feast of Trumpets, he will bound Satan and his demons and remove their direct influence over man. This happens on the Day of Atonement, when Satan, being the influence behind sin and all the evils of this world, has known. This truly will be a great day once it's fulfilled, Satan's removal. Once removed, Christ will usher in the government of God and the earth will see peace for 1,000 years. This is a change that the world is in desperate need of. It doesn't know it yet, but it's in desperate need of something, and some recognize that anyway. How amazing it is that we have God's plan to understand and have that hope of what the future will hold. So we proclaim this time by celebrating the Feast of Tabernacles each year as we look forward to. The last great day will come after this period, and it will be a time when all those that have died that were not in the first resurrection will be given physical life again and an opportunity to respond to a calling of their own and an opportunity to eventually enter the family of God as well. Scripture tells us that when the New Jerusalem is set up on this earth, God himself will dwell with men. These incredible events fulfill the very plan of salvation that God set in motion, a plan that covers 7,000 years. Notice again the time order of the plan and how it just makes perfect sense the way God has got it laid out. Christ returns. He brings his royal family. He puts Satan away and puts an end to violence and war. Jesus Christ will set up his government on earth and make the earth ready to give all others in the second resurrection their opportunity to live eternally. And he will prepare the earth for God himself again to dwell with men. It's a pretty high-level overview of God's master plan of salvation, but I think it provides a good baseline for the rest of our discussion this morning. Let's see where we end on the instructions for the feast day that we are proclaiming here today, this Feast of Trumpets. Continuing in Leviticus chapter 23 and verse 23, it says, "Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, Speak to the children of Israel, saying, In the seventh month, on the first day of the month, you shall have a Sabbath rest, a memorial of blowing of trumpets, a holy convocation. You shall do no customary work on it, and you shall offer an offering made by fire to the Lord." We'll see a companion verse here in November and Numbers, rather, 29, that basically reiterates that point. It's Numbers 29 and verse 1. I'll just read it to you here. It says, "In the seventh month, on the first day of the month, you shall have a holy convocation. You shall do no customary work, for it is a day of blowing the trumpets." God has instructed us to set aside the first day of the seventh month for this holy convocation. He expects us to be obedient to his instructions, and he also expects us to learn its significance, learn how it fits into his plan and be reminded of it. This day is listed as one of the feasts of the Lord and a day of blowing the trumpets, which is why we proclaim it as the Feast of Trumpets. An important background item that I think helps us gain a full understanding of this important day is the meaning behind the name of the festival and how the meaning is used throughout Scripture. The use of trumpets in ancient Israel had significant meanings, and they were understood by the Old and New Testament leaders. We will see a bit later as we review their writings relative to the Feast of Trumpets. Trumpets have historically been used as signals of important events. Certain trumpet blasts were used to sound alarms and convene assemblies in addition to other special event notifications. Let's turn to the book of Numbers for an example. Numbers chapter 10 and verse 1. It says, "And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, Make two silver trumpets for yourself. You shall make them of hammered work. You shall use them for calling the congregation and for directing the movements of the camps." Skipping to verse 9, we find that these trumpets were used to sound a warning of danger and of imminent war. Verse 9, "When you go to war in your land against the enemy who oppresses you, then you shall sound an alarm with trumpets." Verse 10 says, "Also in the day of your gladness, in your appointed feast, and at the beginning of your months, you shall blow the trumpet over your burnt offerings and over the sacrifices of your peace offerings, and that shall be a memorial for you before the Lord. I am the Lord your God." So we see here that a trumpet blast was to be used for directing the movements of the camp, for warnings of danger and war, and for festive occasions, for rejoicing at the feast, and for marking the beginning of a new month. The earliest trumpets that were used to convene assemblies and sound alarms in ancient Israel was called a shofar. The shofar is a musical instrument that was made from a ram's horn and again was used to blast out announcements and warnings. Trumpets of silver were also used for this purpose, as we just saw in Numbers chapter 10. The blast from their use, as with the use of a shofar, was loud, it was powerful, and it shouted out with high intensity to ensure that very important communications that were being sent would be heard by the intended audiences. These were great ways to get everyone's attention because the sound could be intense and could travel over great distances. In Jewish tradition, the shofar is still used during special events, including the observance of the holy days. There is no requirement for the Church of God to use this instrument today, so it's not generally something that's a part of our assembly. However, if you're curious, we do have an individual with us today who is a shofar expert. He didn't say he was. I just threw that in there to make it sound better. And he's graciously enough agreed to give us a couple of shofar blasts for those of you that might be interested in the sound that a shofar makes. If you have little children, you might want to cover their ears. Now see, that was pretty intense, wasn't it? Mr. Proctor also brought a shofar, and I tried to see if he wanted to demonstrate, but I think he didn't want to show up the expert we have, so he has one up here too, so after services, if you want to come by and look at it and see what it feels like, I'm sure he would be glad for you to do so. As we review references to the events surrounding this feast day, especially when we get to the New Testament, it is helpful to understand the Hebrew meaning of the word trumpets. This is important because the Feast of Trumpets is not referenced in New Testament scripture the same way it is referenced in Old Testament scriptures. You know, some in the mainstream medium world believe that these days, these feast days, are done away with. And they might cite the fact that the Feast of Trumpets by name is not listed in the New Testament. Now, these same well-meaning Christians of the world today also use that same thought process to say that the commandments are done away with because all 10 of them are not listed as well. Well, we know that that is not the case. But in Hebrew, the term trumpets is translated from the term teruah, spelled T-E-R-U-A-H, and its meaning is a loud shout or blast. Some definitions have a loud noise. I don't know if that demonstration was considered a noise or a blast. I think it was a blast. But it comes from the Hebrew word ruah, spelled R-U-A, meaning to give a shout or to give a blast. The usage is frequently coupled with the blowing of trumpets. The writers of the New Testament, and this is important when you're looking at the Feast of Trumpets and studying all about this particular day, the writers of the New Testament were inspired to build on the description of shouting and blasting coupled with the blowing of trumpets. The early church leaders understood the importance and meaning of this day, and is evident by the way they were inspired to write about it. We'll see this same term, teruah, loud shout or blast, used to describe the events that refer to the Feast of Trumpets in New Testament scriptures. So according to the Hebrew calendar, the first day of the seventh month in 2024 is October 3rd, a Thursday, and that happens to be today. We are having a holy convocation, and after the offertory comments a few minutes ago, we took up an offering that is required during this holy day observance. Setting this day apart, assembling and giving an offering are important responsibilities that we must do to observe this day properly. Following instructions is important. It's important to God. In Deuteronomy chapter 12 and verse 32, it says, whatever I command you, be careful to observe it. You shall not add to it nor take away from it. So I ask again, why are you here? Well, one of the reasons you are here, and I am here, is to be obedient to God's instructions. Another one of the reasons why you are here, why I am here, is to further our spiritual development. We are here to continue our spiritual development by gaining a deeper understanding of God's plan. You know, everything God does, He does for a purpose. One of the intentions of the Holy Days is to keep our focus on the future kingdom of God and developing spiritually for our role in it. There are always important lessons to be learned from God's instructions, and our spiritual development is dependent on learning the lessons that God has for us to learn. Mr. Bryant covered some of those in his message. In 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16, there's a familiar couple of verses here. 2 Timothy 3 verses 16 and 17. It says, "All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, and instruction in righteousness." My margin has for the word instruction, training, or discipline. The Feast of Trumpets is an act of training and discipline and is critical to our spiritual development. One of the best ways to train is by practice, is by doing it. It's been said that practice is the act of rehearsing a behavior over and over or engaging in an activity again and again for the purpose of improving or mastering it, as in the phrase, practice makes perfect. I think we've all heard that. Part of our spiritual development is to remember, to acknowledge, and to support all that God has done and is doing and will be doing in the future. So again, why are you here? Well, you're here to further your spiritual development. Another one of the reasons we are here today is to remember and give thanks. The Feast of Trumpets reminds us of where we came from and where we are going. It is humbling to consider what our Father and our elder brother, Jesus Christ, have done for us already, and the promises that are yet to come. You and I were individually created in the very image of God. Since our creation, we have been provided with all that we have needed to sustain life. Our creation was not a random act. Each of us were created for a great purpose. Our potential is to be part of the very God family. That's amazing. To be in God's kingdom. The Holy Days help us to keep focus on the kingdom and help us to prepare again for our very important role in it. We among all people should rejoice and give thanks for the blessing of our calling and the timing of it. Everyone that's been created will receive a calling of their own, but God called us now. Turn, if you will, to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8 and verse 28. Romans 8 verse 28. It says, "And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God and to those who are called according to His purpose. For whom He foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed to the image of God, that He might be the firstborn of many brethren." You know, do we give thanks continually to God for our calling? Do we give Him thanks for allowing us to be among the very first fruits of many brethren? Let's turn also to Ephesians chapter 1, and we'll begin in verse 3. Ephesians 1. In verse 3, it says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ, just as He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love, having predestined us to adoption as sons of Jesus Christ," or by son, adoption as sons by Jesus Christ, "to Himself according to the good pleasure of His will, to the praise and the glory of His grace, by which He made us accepted in the beloved." Skipping down to verse 11, it says, "In Him also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of Him who works all things according to the counsel of His will, that we who first trusted in Christ should be to the praise of His glory. In Him you also trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, who in the guarantee of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession to the praise of his glory. We among all people should be filled with thanksgiving always, but especially on these high Sabbath days. We have God's plan. We know how the story ends. And when this day is fulfilled, we will become a spirit being in the very God family. That's something to be humbly grateful for, and something to express to God daily, and something to consider as we observe this day each year. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, 16 through 18, a couple of short verses there. I'll just quote them. It says, "Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, and in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you." So again, why are you here? Why am I here? We are to remember and we are to give thanks. Another reason for why you and I are here today is to set the stage for finishing our race. To set the stage for finishing our race. Each of the holy days build on one another and complete the plan of God. We are here to remember God's plan. And year by year, we are to develop a deeper understanding as we strive to put God's way of life into practice. This is a lifelong process. And keeping God's plan for us in our hearts and minds help us to push towards the finish line. The expectation that God has for us and we should have for ourselves is for us to stay on track until this race is won. Our Heavenly Father and our elder brother Jesus Christ are the standard that we must be continually striving for. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 48 instructs us to become perfect. Matthew 5:48 says, Be you therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. The word be, I've mentioned this before, the word be can be translated to be or become, indicating a process. Observing the Feast of Trumpets is very much part of this process. The term perfect comes from the Greek word teleos, which means to be complete or spiritually mature. The Adams Clark commentary in reference to this verse says that Christ's disciples must resemble their Heavenly Father. You and I are to resemble our Heavenly Father. We are to become perfect like God and Jesus Christ. We are to conform in every way to their image. We are to come complete. And again, we are to become spiritually mature. God expects us to continually strive for perfection and build on the spiritual gains that we make day by day, year by year, and festival by festival as we celebrate them each year. The Feast of Trumpets reminds us that God's plan is going to be fulfilled, and we need to press on and be preparing ourselves for our role in that kingdom. I mentioned that several times, but I think that's important. Philippians chapter 3 and verse 12. Philippians chapter 3 and verse 12. It says, "Not that I have already attained or am already perfected, but I press on, that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead." Verse 14 says, "I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Jesus Christ." I think that's a real uplifting and important sentence there in verse 13. Forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward. Keeping focused on the glorious future that God has prepared for you and for me, and letting those things that we go through in this life, those things that were not as pleasant or not as important, we need to leave those behind, constantly focusing on our future. The Feast of Trumpets reminds us of what's coming. So why are you here? Why am I here? Well, we're here to set the stage for finishing our race. The final reason that I have for why we are here today is to celebrate. This is really the main point that I hope to get across in the message today. We are here to celebrate. Angie and I drove over to Johnson City, Tennessee over the Labor Day weekend a couple of weeks ago for the annual Duncan Family Reunion. The Duncan Family Reunion has been an annual event celebrating our family and our family traditions for as long as I can remember. I always enjoyed the opportunity to reunite with extended family that I had not seen in a while and share stories about the history of our family and the many good memories that we all share. Last year, one of my uncles at the family reunion gave his update on his immediate side of the family. That's a tradition we have. We have a little business meeting. We pass the hat and collect a few dollars for the next year. And each arm of the family, if you will, gets up and says a few words about that particular, who's there this year and what's going on in their side of the family. But he mentioned that the group assembled at that moment would likely never be together in the exact same way again, at least not in this life. And from year to year, there are family members that are no longer with us, and we long for the time when we see them again. This particular uncle died last year. He was one of my dad's, had five brothers, and there's one left. There was two last year. At the Duncan reunion, we are, from year to year, sometimes introduced to extended family members that we have never met, and we are now meeting for the first time. At reunion time, we are also introduced to extended family, again, that we've never met, and sometimes they're not in person. Sometimes they're looking through worn pages of old photo books filled with pictures and keepsakes that tell our family story. Great uncles and aunts and individuals that came well before us. And again, they tell our family story, where we came from and how we got there. I talked about the upcoming Duncan reunion and the process of scrapbooking a few weeks ago, talking about the Book of Life. It was interesting to see how much older so many of my cousins have gotten. They all looked older to me. But you know, some of the discussions that took place this year are the same discussions that seem to take place every year. They touched on the troubles in the world, that the world's experiencing, and the longing for a restoration of values and a better way of life for everyone. The Duncan reunion always takes place just before the Feast of Trumpets each year, and it's a reminder to me that both events are a time to celebrate. You know, the word reunion in the dictionary has three definitions that are closely related. One definition says an instance of two or more people coming together again after a period of separation. Another meaning says a social gathering attended by members of a certain group of people who have not seen each other for a long time. And the third meaning says an act or a process of being brought together again as a unified whole. The Feast of Trumpets pictures a time when Jesus Christ will bring together the first fruits of the family of God as a unified whole. It is a purposeful act that will be brought about as part of a great process or plan, again, that was decided years ago, that was developed years ago. We will be reunited with family that we have not seen in a while, and we will be introduced to family members, new family members that we didn't know existed. How many church family members, how many of those first fruits, like you and I, will we be introduced to when the Feast of Trumpets is finally fulfilled? We've read about some of them in the pages of the Bible. So many of the brethren that have come along before us that we have yet to meet. In God's kingdom, who are you longing to have a conversation with? Who would you like to meet? Well, you know, the Feast of Trumpets makes those conversations, those future conversations, possible. I think of the Feast of Trumpets as a reunion that will be like no other. There are several highlights that are represented in this step in the plan of salvation that God is bringing about that will make this reunion possible. I'd like to quickly touch on three of these highlights that we are here to celebrate today. Three that will make the fulfillment of this day, again, a reunion like no other. The first is the Feast of Trumpets celebrates the return of Jesus Christ. There are multiple references in Scripture that speak about the return of Jesus Christ and the impact it will have on all humanity. Matthew chapter 24 provides us with some of the traumatic events that will take place just prior to Christ's return. These are things that will be happening at the end time, things that must happen prior to the time of great celebration that we're all looking forward to. We see a lot of those events taking shape in our world today. How close are we? Well, we don't know. Christ's disciples wanted to know when he would return and requested a sign to watch out for his coming. Christ sets the stage for what will happen just prior to his return, and then says this in Matthew chapter 24 and verse 30. Matthew 24, verse 30. The sign of the Son of Man will appear in heaven, and then all the tribes of the earth will mourn. And they will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. And he will send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they will gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. Without the return of Jesus Christ, Satan would continue to influence man and lead humanity further towards complete destruction. Christ has promised to return and with great power and glory and end Satan's rule to restore the peace and joy that comes from living God's way. There is a comfortable scripture that I like in Zechariah that encourages us to hang in there and tells us that help is on the way. And that's in Zechariah chapter 2 and verse 10. Zechariah chapter 2 and verse 10. It says, "Sing and rejoice, O daughter of Zion, for behold, I am coming, and I will dwell in your midst, says the Lord." The return of Jesus Christ is a great cause for celebration. The Feast of Trumpets celebrates the first resurrection and the change to eternal life for the first fruits. The Apostle Paul shows us that the first resurrection and the change to eternal life will occur at the return of Jesus Christ. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, beginning at verse 13, that was one of the scriptures that were already read today, but we'll read it again. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 13 says, But I do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep, lest you sorrow as others who have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with him those who sleep in Jesus. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, there's that word, teruah, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Verse 17 says, then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds, and meet the Lord in the air, and thus we shall always be with the Lord. The Feast of Trumpets pictures the time when we will see those who we have lost to this physical life, those who died in the faith, and all other members of the God family we have yet to meet. The first resurrection and the change to eternal life for the first fruits, again, is a great cause for celebration. And why? One of the reasons we should be celebrating today. The Feast of Trumpets celebrates the beginning of Christ's rule on earth. Feast of Trumpets celebrates the beginning of Christ's rule on earth. Isaiah tells of the glorious return of Christ and the government that he will establish on the earth. Isaiah provides some perspective on how things will turn out under Christ's rule. Let's turn to Isaiah chapter 9, if you would, and we'll begin in verse 6. Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 6. It says, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder. And his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end upon the throne of David and over his kingdom, to order it and establish it with judgment and justice from that time forward, even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this." How encouraging is it to know that the government will be on Christ's shoulders? Shortly after the return of Jesus Christ, Satan will be removed from his post and replaced by the government of God led by Jesus Christ himself. God's family will begin the process to restore all things, to implement God's way of life to a world that has been suffering under Satan's rule. The beginning of Christ's rule on the earth, again, is another wonderful thing to celebrate. So again, I ask you why you are here. Why am I here? You and I are here to celebrate the rule of God in Jesus Christ on this earth. A review of Leviticus 23, and specifically the scriptures related to the Feast of Trumpets, clearly show that our presence here today is commanded. It's a commanded assembly. It's an annual appointment that God has established for you and for me. We are told that this feast day belongs to God. It's not ours. Not anyone else's. We are given clear instructions to honor the day in the manner that is provided in Scripture. We are here to be obedient to God's instructions. We are here to further our spiritual development. We are here to remember and to give thanks. We are here to set the stage for finishing our race, and we are here to celebrate. We are here to celebrate the return of Jesus Christ, the resurrection of the saints, and the beginning of Jesus Christ's rule on earth. You know, even with the tragic events that must take place leading up to the fulfillment of the Feast of Trumpets, the good news is that Jesus Christ will return and will make all things new. Those that have died in the faith will be resurrected, and those that are alive at his return will be changed and become spirit beings in the family of God. The government of God, led by Jesus Christ, will restore godly values and ensure a better life for everyone. I hope this message has been a useful reminder of why we are here. I hope you are encouraged to really celebrate all that God will bring about in the not too distant future. I hope that each of us look forward with great anticipation to the fulfillment of the Feast of Trumpets. It is truly a time to celebrate, and I believe it will be a reunion like no other. Enjoy your feast.